This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
This week's show is brought to you by Miracle Made. All right, now you guys, Brad and Alex, you know I like a lot of things, but I'm going to reveal a little bit about myself here. I really like sleeping.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I'm like, it's in my top three.
It's a great thing to do.
Wait, hang on. Eating, sleeping, and?
Sleeping. Again. Okay. It's mostly sleeping, then eating, then sleeping again.
Got it, yes. Got sleep, it. Get up, eat, and then get back to sleep.
Yeah. If I could eat while I'm sleeping, I would probably do that too.
Sleep, eat, sleep, repeat. Got it.
Yes. And luckily for me, Miracle Made has sheets just for me. Because did you know that traditional bed sheets can harbor more bacteria than a toilet seat? And I'll tell you what I don't like, sleeping on a damn toilet seat. I would rather sleep in some nice sheets.
I don't know, man. Have you tried it?
Unfortunately, yes. And it's not my style.
I won't ask you to elaborate.
Inspired by those punks at NASA, Miracle Made uses silver-infused fabrics and makes temperature-regulating bedding so you can sleep at the perfect temperature all night long. It has self-cooling properties. The sheets that are infused with this silver prevent up to 99.7% of bacterial growth, leaving them to stay cleaner and fresh 3 times longer than other sheets, and no more gross odors. Only the best odors in my sheets. You can go to trymiracle.com/nextlander to try Miracle Made sheets today. And whether you're buying them for yourself or as a gift for a loved one, if you order today, you can save over 40%. And if you use our promo NEXTLANDER at checkout, you'll get 3 free towels and save an extra 20%. Miracle is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you aren't 100% satisfied, you'll get a full refund. Upgrade your sleep with Miracle Made. Go to miracle.com/NEXTLANDER and use the code NEXTLANDER to claim your free 3-piece towel set. And save over 40% off. Again, that's trymiracle.com/nextlander to treat yourself. Thank you, Miracle Made, for sponsoring this episode. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this podcast, this NEXTLANDER podcast, in which I am very thankful to be joined by Brad Shoemaker.
Hey, I had stuffed this copy of Halo Infinite inside the carcass of the turkey, where it could absorb all of the drippings and become moist and succulent.
An infinite juice in this Halo Erky.
Look, Master Chief needs his protein, okay?
Chief Erky. Alex Navarro, very thankful to have you here as well.
Thank you. I was going to make a turducken joke, but it was going to be inappropriate, so I decided not to.
Yeah, definitely don't want to do that here. Who would dare do inappropriate humor here?
Yeah, nothing, no, this is a family podcast, please.
Nothing inappropriate about turducken.
I've never had one, so I assume
I've seen one. I'd have never had one either.
Have you really?
Yeah, no, I've seen one.
How did you see it and not claim it for yourself?
Well, I mean, it wasn't in person. It was on the television.
I don't think that counts.
I've seen what they look like. I've never actually been in range of one.
So, you put the duck in the turkey?
I am looking at a cross section as we speak, and I wish I could tell you.
It seems unholy.
It actually looks way worse than I expected.
looks worse. Okay.
It looks kind of bad. I'm sure it's fine.
When your primary champion is John Madden, you know, it's like nothing really good is going to come of that.
I mean, I'm also getting a lot of Guy Fieri here.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Okay, well, that's a combination that really is just, if there were a podcast that I, my dream team, that I would want to just will into existence, it's...
Oh, no.
Probably that, yes?
I've descended a level deeper.
Okay.
Who else is in the turducken?
I've discovered a turducken in a can.
Oh.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
I've gone yet another level deeper. I have just found Merrick grain-free wet dog food turducken.
Okay, I'll go back. I think that's a parallel, but the turducken in a can.
There's this turducken-flavored dog food.
That's a canturucken. Canturducken. Canturucken.
I'm just imagining like one of those like awful firefighter videos where it's like, don't deep fry a turkey because your house will catch on fire. And they're actually just lowering a can of turducken still in the can into the deep fryer.
But then it actually still explodes and like
it explodes in a very different way.
I wonder how much a turducken will run you.
Well, you got to buy the turkey and a duck. Just how much is a duck?
Oh, and a chicken. Don't forget. It's three types of fowl.
Okay, so listen, I think you can get a turkey.
It's three types of fowl.
Nice. I think you can get a duck inside a turkey. I think that's possible. Getting a duck inside a chicken, though, that seems way less likely.
I'm going to say the chicken is the smallest of the nesting dolls here.
You do? You think a... Oh, wow. Okay. I was thinking like a smaller duck. Maybe my duck was small, like a mallard, you know, not like a goose.
How small is your duck, Vinny?
Pretty. How small is it? It's pretty small. It's a pretty small duck.
Maybe I've been spending too much time in Golden Gate Park, but those ducks seem pretty big.
I would say duck, chicken, turkey.
I would say chicken goes inside a duck, goes inside a turkey. Wow.
That's how I would probably do
really?
It as well.
Yes. Yeah.
Like a duck, like a wah, wah.
Well, I mean, like, are we talking about a duck or are we talking about like a duck man sized duck, like a Mallard Fillmore like
style duck?
No, that's
like a
duck.
Human. No.
So but then again, then I think if it's a regular duck, then that goes inside a turkey.
Okay.
Have you seen a turkey?
No, I've seen a turkey, but I think the duck would go in the chicken and then the chicken would go in the turkey.
No, no, no. Ducks are bigger than chicken.
Wow. Okay.
I mean, unless you're talking about like a bantam rooster or something.
I guess, I don't know. Both of them seem like they would be small. Like a duck sitting on the water? You crawl inside a chicken? You don't think so? You don't think it'd get right up in there? I think a chicken's...
I think we need to do some science. I think we need to conduct some illegal experiments here and see what we can come up with.
Yeah. Chickens are big.
I know.
Have those roasters? I gotta call Mr. Purdue.
They're all feathers, man. It's just all feathers.
It's all water, really. It's all water and concrete. And
I am led to believe you can have a turducken for as little as $50.
I didn't think you could even buy one of those things for as little as $50. I guess you could buy a chicken.
Here's what I'm gonna tell you right now: you don't want the $50 turducken. That is a turducken that has seen some shit.
That's a 4-pound turducken. Would you order a turducken from Amazon? Speaking of which,
I wouldn't order food from Amazon if I didn't have to.
I don't know if I would. Wait, okay. I have a really possibly very silly question that maybe makes this all make sense.
Okay.
Okay. And don't, please, this is a safe space for me.
Yes, it is. No joke.
Are the birds whole or are they like chopped up and deboned?
It's definitely deboned. It's not
okay.
It's not like chopped up and like made into a slurry and then formed into a loaf, if that's what you mean.
Because I'm imagining whole bird inside cavity of other bird. And that's
it looks like whole cuts of meat.
Okay. So
with
you,
no bones. But it's not like a sausage. Yeah, it's not like a sausage, if that's what you mean. It's not like
In my mind it was like the bird carcass goes inside the other bird carcass.
That's kind of... You're getting there.
But it's broken down, though, right? It's
to some degree, yes. It's not a full, like, structured thing, I don't think.
They appear to have removed bones, and I would say, you know, ligaments and cartilage to the best of their ability.
Okay. But you still have, like, a leg on a thigh kind of thing?
Those appear to be kind of a loaf format. Well, all right. You know what? I bet there are regional turducken variations, actually.
There you go.
Also, there's our podcast episode, kind of a loaf format.
Oh man, we are mono
banging about early today.
Yeah, 48 right. kilohertz all the way.
We're banging about early. We're banging the show out early because, folks, yeah. it is American Thanksgiving this week.
That's... sure is.
In case you were wondering why we were talking about all this bullshit,
we are. And you're going to be out there traveling the world. Mm-hmm.
Well, the world, by that you mean the other coast of this country that I already live in, yes.
That's right. You're going to the other headquarters of Nextlander in beautiful California.
Yes, I'll be sleeping in Brad's apartment.
Nextlander West.
That's right. You're heading over and going to visit our sister headquarters.
Yes.
Over there. We are, we are recording this on a Tuesday, as I said in other places. If you, if that news you love broke on Wednesday and we did not get to it, then now you know why.
Big fans of that news.
You know, that news that you love, that new, that story that is has rattled your mind, and you're like, man, I can't wait to hear what Alex, Brad, and Vinny have to say about Redacted. Then you are...
then frick off, because we're on vacation.
I'm sorry. Phil Spencer went over to Sony. What? Yeah,
they can wait till next week.
Is that the biggest? No.
Preposterous.
Master Chief is now in, I don't know, I couldn't, God of War.
Warner Brothers Multiverses, which has now been officially announced.
There you go. It's
Master Chief and Shaggy.
And Batman and Scorpion all together.
All your favorites.
All right, we do have some games to talk about this week.
Hang on. That was underappreciated.
Okay.
Let's give that a moment.
I just want to give you credit for that.
Okay, good. Thank you very much.
It wasn't bad at all.
Okay, thank you. Everybody out there has pulled their car over, and I'm sure is just trying to frantically tune into another podcast. But
yes. No, they're not, because they're already stuck in traffic on the way to their families, so they're not pulling anything
over. Vomiting out the window, you know, as the case may be.
All right. Also, I should mention this one. We're recording this one a little later, so if it gets a little punchy over here, it's because
I haven't had my dinner yet.
That's right.
I bet it's like dark out there.
Oh, it's been dark for like 2 hours, man.
It's very dark over here. If it's noisy upstairs, the family has returned from all their various outings.
Oh my God.
A taekwondo has been had, or basketball practice, or guitar lessons, or whatever else happens out there. I don't know. I'm in the basement. All right. Should we get to the games?
Vinny's always in the basement.
Vinny's always in the basement. It's why Vinny has his vitamin D pill he takes.
I was just going to say, man, like, you got to go out of your way to get some sunshine.
Well, I get the morning walk, but the sun isn't even up yet, so I don't know.
Boy.
It's tough. I do try to step outside.
It's
the
long, dark winter.
Mm-hmm. I do try to step outside, like, for about 20 minutes and just sit on the porch and, okay.
Oh, you have a porch?
Well, you know, like, to the house, yeah. Yeah, oh, got a porch to the house. So I sit on there and just sit there because I know my body needs sunlight. I've seen enough, heard enough. I know the body needs something. Before my skin just starts flaking off in weird ways.
You got a rocking chair out there?
No, there's not really enough room. It's got like a scooter on it.
Okay.
And a mailbox. Like a little, like one of the kids' scooters put up there. Anyway, let's talk about some video games.
Okay.
I like those.
Yeah. All right. So I'll start off with a game here that I kind of in cruising for some stuff to play this week. And was like, you know, let me go look down and see what's come out, what's new, what's hot, what are all the kids playing? It's Fortnite.
Mm-hmm.
And
is Fortnite.
Yeah. I went out there, it was Fortnite, so I decided to play some XO1 instead of Fortnite. Now, XO1 is a game you may or may not have heard of.
Not heard of it until you guys brought it to my attention, but it looks kind of rad.
I saw Patrick posting some, Patrick Klepek of Waypoint, posting some clips of it the other night, and I was like, ooh, this looks interesting.
So, okay, have you seen Flight of the Navigator?
Yes.
Okay.
Sure. Okay. Probably.
You with me, Alex? Remember the ship in Flight of the Navigator?
I do.
Okay. Now imagine somebody made a kind of mixed Flight of the Navigator with the end of 2001 and put some controls behind it and was like, I just like the vibe of this, and then added maybe like a sprinkle, a very little bit. Somebody just went in there and put like the tiniest little hint, the sniff of like a kind of space mystery. Mm-hmm. Just a little bit of like, we received a signal. What happened?
What happened to the people that went to go to investigate it?
Yeah. And then that's what this game kind of feels like to me. You play as this, basically this orb. I should say this game is, it's like $17. It is on Game Pass. It's also on PC. It's like a vibes game. Right? Like,
it is extremely a vibes game.
It's like one of those games that's like, you're not too far removed from a screensaver or a visualizer.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah, like I'd put it in the vein of like, look, there is an objective in each level. It is usually just get to the big thing that takes you to the next level. But for the most part, it is a fucking around game. And yeah, so- by fucking around, it is the way I think I described it to you guys was Tony Hawk's Pro Interstellar. Like you are controlling this orb and you are just fucking around in the environment.
Is it like physical? Does it feel physical? Like I saw the description said something along the lines of like a gravity based action system, I think is how they described it, which sounds like extremely up my alley.
Totally. Yeah,
the controls are actually really well done. So I think that's I think there's two big, huge things going for this. Well, maybe three if you consider the price, $17, but the visuals are great. I think that it's pretty outstanding.
Simple but effective.
Yeah, and the controls work really well. So you're this orb that, the way they describe it is when you basically pull the right trigger, you have 10 times your gravity, and then so you just plummet, or 10 times all gravity. I don't know if it's the planet you're on's gravity. You just plummet to the ground and roll down. So you're like wanting to hold the trigger as you're going down. Going down an incline and then let off as you're going back up, because when you let off the trigger, you have moon gravity. So you are then rolling down, gaining mass or gaining velocity, and then as you go back up, you just shoot off this ramp.
Wait, so you're constantly ascending or descending? There's no just cruise?
So then if you hit the other trigger, you turn into a flat disc and you glide.
Oh, but there is a limit to how long you can do that for.
Huh.
And then if you hit the trigger again while you're in the disc, you drop down, and then you kind of can like Super Mario World cape yourself up and down.
I was gonna say that sounds almost like an arcade kind of vibe of you're always moving up or moving down, and you've just got to manage those two things to make sure you. I mean, can you die though? Is there failure state?
No, I don't think so.
This is not that kind of game.
No, like
this footage looks cool as hell.
The closest I've gotten to failing is just sort of it seems like there are. You know, like sometimes you can try going up a hill and then you miss. And so you end up rolling back down the way you didn't mean to go. But that's about it, at least from what I've seen.
It has got a cool vibe to it. And I've done about three or four planets, and each it seems like the objective is either to get the power core on the planet, like you get the power up thing that's on a planet, which I'm not always sure exactly what that's doing. It lists some upgrades you may have gotten, but they don't really seem to manifest sometimes. It's not like suddenly I have laser beams. It's like, oh, you can maybe glide more or longer. I'm not exactly sure.
Presumably, yeah.
Yeah, and then you hit this like gravity cannon thing that just shoots you into another planet.
Onto another planet, yeah.
And then there's some like narrative stuff happening along the way, which maybe by the end is a mystery. I've read it's not a very long game. I don't know if I'm nearing the end or not, but I have been fixated on getting this one collectible in it that I just cannot get the height to get. I have been trying to physics my way into this collectible and I cannot get it. Spent like a half hour trying to get it.
This, I have to play this. This sounds like, whoa. I've just got this little trailer running off to the side here, and something weird just flashed over top of the gameplay footage that maybe I shouldn't mention.
Well, is it a picture?
I mean, it's right there. Yes, it's like
that's the narrative. That's so the like, setup. And they say this right at the top. Like
yeah, it's right here in a trailer. Obviously, they're not trying to hide it or anything.
Like the gist of the setup is that like Earth gets a signal from space that lets them build this alien probe, which is the thing that you are controlling. And that at some point, some people were sent on a mission to go and see where that signal was coming from, and all but one disappeared. And so I think you're kind of trying to figure out what happened to those people, but that's like, everything I've played so far has been, like, very lightly touching on that stuff and not really hitting you over the head with it.
I feel like I am tripping balls watching this footage.
It's cool. So
I cannot believe the range of, like, visuals and environments they seem to have packed into this thing.
There's a lot of that. Like, they definitely played a fair amount of, like, No Man's Sky and were like, here's a bunch of weird planets, which is cool. And then it's just, like, monoliths fucking up and down all over the place. I will say, my only knock against it so far is that when I got to the second level, I tried to jam my probe into like a weird angled monolith, there's a little split area, and I broke the fucking camera. Like, I broke it so hard that like it just flashed white, and I could not see anything in the level anymore. But I could hear my probe running around still.
Oh, did you have to reset it?
Yeah,
I'm still just staring at this footage. That just feels like they're running the gamut of every like classic sci-fi planet type imaginable.
Totally.
There's like the interstellar water planet here. Mm-hmm. I just saw the Mustafar like Revenge of the Sith lava planet.
Yeah.
Like there's like you said, there's some extremely 2001 looking trippy shit.
Yeah.
They ring a lot out of a little.
You just get like a planet that just looks like a bunch of Xbox Series X's crashed into it, and like they're just like sticking out of it.
Literally looking at that right now.
Get cool ass ramps out of them. No, it's really neat. My knock against it is, while it's really fun to navigate, you traverse great distances, so you're gonna want to pick up a lot of speed, or you're gonna be out there
for a while.
You want to figure out how to go fast very quickly. You can get some really high altitude and then pull that trigger to become very heavy, and you will crash through cloud layers and possibly an ocean and like really, really, you know, I think you break the speed of sound. Like, you move in that thing.
Oh yeah. Like the first achievement I got was literally breaking the sound barrier by crashing to the planet so hard.
It's cool. Wild. Yeah. It's you know, if you have Game Pass, it's probably worth just checking out for the visuals alone, and just messing around. And it's got a really cool feel as you pull the trigger, let off the trigger, and you just go up a ramp and just keep flying. Like, that's real fun.
Does it almost seem like the other side of the coin that Jet is on? Where that game
I had those thoughts
as well. Yes.
That game is pretty like meditative and deliberate. And this just looks like, again, like a Tony Hawk version of that.
Yes, it's a thing where the traversal is very much the thing, where the narrative is extremely in the background.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool.
It's neat. It's a neat thing. Whether, you know, it's going to be up people's alley to make even a 5-hour playthrough, I'm not sure. But like I said, if you have Game Pass, maybe worth checking out. XO1 is the
XO1.
Name of
that game.
XO1. I think when I was looking into it, it seemed like there was maybe a release of this XO prequel that maybe had come out, that was maybe a prototype of this. I didn't dig too much into it. I just saw the release buried in some data. So if folks have followed this one, it seems neat. The other game I checked out is Next Space Rebels. Now this one has been recommended to me a bunch. I have seen it kind of come and go. And if I were to describe this game as part rocket ship building game, part FMV game, and part kind of classic adventure game, okay. I would
that sounds like they made a game for Vinnie Caravella.
I would say that sounds like a game they made a game for me.
They sure did.
Next Space Rebels, also on Game Pass, by the way, and PC and Switch. Okay. It's $20. So at its core, you're this person building model rockets. Around that is you are a YouTuber, StarTuber, who watches this channel, I think it's called Rocket Girl, and that kind of is inspired to also build rockets. But everyone hates StarTube. And there's this like weird like thing about people. Okay, so one example is you have this friend who's like, hey, like you meet somebody on StarTube and it's a kid who's like, hey, can you launch these toys on your rocket? I'm like, yeah, okay, I could do that. And you do, and you get a lot of views and on your StarTube channel, and then your friend is like, hey, I see you're getting a lot of views. Like, I think that's kind of a like a trap on StarTube for like kids stuff. Like, do you want to be associated with, like, they kind of see the algorithm with kids stuff. So you're getting a bunch of views, but they're hollow. So be careful if you keep doing those kind of videos, because I think it's a lot of upfront views and you're just going to get grouped into kid category stuff eventually, which is like really fucking weird for this game to have this conversation. So you decide whether you're going to keep using toys on your rockets. I'm currently using trash on my rockets, but then I got started getting free fireworks from this company called Big Bang, and they started sending me free fireworks until the guy started getting super creepy and weird and was like telling his customers that I'm affiliated and that I'm doing promotion. So I had to tell him in the chat app to fuck off.
Are you making exploitative and or predatory content? You need to tell us if so. Are you running an ethical StarTube channel? I'm afraid you have some questions to answer.
I had to tell him to like he's like, well, we could get into a business opportunity. I was like, no, man, I'm cutting deal. I'm cutting off with you. No more business opportunities.
He's like,
well, then no more free fireworks. And I lost my free fireworks.
We got an email in for this game that I forwarded to you. I just looked it up where I wrote like, oh, this looks like it has some Kerbal-ish potential to it. Like, it's, I had zero idea about this layer.
It's super. Of the thing. That's, it's so good with its. It's got like the comments on your videos. This might be my 2021 game of the year. Is fake social media comment? Like, developers know enough about this to do really good fake social media comments on videos. Like, they're so good. Like, they're not just like, wow, I love this. There's like drive-by StarTube comments that are like, this is garbage tier. I don't even know what got me here. Like, just comments under your video or have you seen what this stuff does to kids kind of comments that it's just like really good. I got into this thing with this person on StarTube who wanted to have a competition with me, but then my fireworks got cut off. So they sent me an illegal firework, and then they sent me a picture of their garage burnt down because they were doing stuff. And then I was like, but they were like, I still want to do stuff with you. Is that cool? And I was like, yeah, okay, that's cool. And they sent me this giant illegal firework. And then someone was like, did you hear about that kid that blew themselves up making a rocket? Did you know them? And I was like, no, I don't know who you're talking about.
nothing to do with
it. It's weird. And then on top of that, there is this layer of StarTube that is trying to bring like people making videos that are trying to bring down StarTube because StarTube's also trying to go to space. What? Very like corporate. Wait. Like, hey, they're trying to own space and space belongs to everybody.
Is there an Elon Musk stand-in in this game?
So I haven't gotten there yet, but like there is like a kind of activist arm that is like doing protests about space should belong to everybody, and I think I'm getting rolled up into that. Those are the next space rebels.
That makes some sense. This is not the game that I thought this was.
It's almost got a not much, for broadcast kind of vibe to it.
Like, how much do you even build rockets in this game?
All the time, because that's how I'm making money. So I just got my channel up high enough to monetize. And you also have this weird interaction where like you get these people who are like, I've seen StarTube's code, and basically you just have to put the right amount of tags on your videos to get views. Your content really doesn't matter. So there's this whole mechanic of like just mixing, matching combo tags to get the views. It's really something.
Sounds wild.
So you are making exploitative content is what you're saying.
Yeah. But okay. But on top of that, it's got this photoreal vibe. So the backgrounds, I don't know if you've seen videos of the game, but the backgrounds take place in actual photorealistic, like almost like QuickTime VR things, where they then layer in a photoreal rocket onto. You know, it's a toy rocket. But all the background, it's got this photoreal vibe, which works really well in the game, except when the rocket crashes into things, sometimes it doesn't work. But it looks kind of great. For what it's going after, the rocket building stuff, for what I'm up to, leaves a little bit to be desired, and there are points where I kind of got stuck on certain bits, but they've upgraded my the app I use to make rockets is now upgraded, so I can make better rockets, and there's a rocket engineer who clued me into liquid fuel to use in my rockets. It's as a home design. And
oh no
Have
you been to nextspacerebels.com?
It's a fake StarTube site.
It's fucking StarTube. It's actually they kind of built StarTube here.
Yeah.
What are the main videos on StarTube?
I think it's
launch
just a
at
promo
the balls
video, right?
2017 rocket launch event from Dodgeball Dad. All my rockets that didn't work from Trash Whiz.
Oh, Trash Whiz! That's somebody I'm getting trash from.
Let's see. Back-to-back silo launched model rocket. Launch your first rocket. Students launch high altitude rocket from a balloon.
It's weird, man.
It sounds weird.
It's a weird game. They do really good fake YouTube videos. It's on Game Pass. If that sounds interesting to you, check it out. I don't know where it goes or what happens.
Is it on Xbox? This sounds very much like a mouse game.
It is. It's on Game Pass on Xbox on the console.
Oh.
I've played it there, but I have wanted to just have a mouse. It plays mostly fine with a controller, but there are parts where you're like, I wish I had a mouse for this.
Hmm.
I have to say, I really enjoy that in their fake YouTube on their homepage, they embedded a real YouTube video.
Is it their trailer? Like their
yes.
Look, video hosting is expensive. All right.
No, I get it. I fully understand. I think that's great.
It's neat and cool, and it's got a. I really like what they're swinging for there. It's rough around some edges, but you know, like I said, $20.
Yeah, also pretty cheap, right?
Yeah, and the design stuff on the. I don't know how far along you get into it, but the design stuff on the rocket's pretty neat. Like it's not Kerbal. It's 2D for me right now. I don't know if we'll get to 3D, but. In the designing the rocket, like you kind of design the rocket on a notepad, basically. And we'll see what happens. So next, Space Rebels. I'm going to keep going with it. I'm really actually enjoying it. At first I was like, man, my kids are going to love this. Then all the other stuff started happening. Ooh, and I was like, I don't know. Cause it's kind of billed as this Bill Nye, the Science Guy-esque experience at first, where you're like, oh, this kid who's inspired by this Rocket Girl YouTuber is like building rockets. And we're going to just get a lot of science about rockets in this, and then turns into this whole other thing. So I don't know. Bill Nye is pretty awesome.
To be fair, they may never be too young to learn the truth about YouTube.
Seriously.
Maybe you should just go ahead and rip the Band-Aid off.
Oh, I'll walk them through it. You do get choices in your dialogue of like, you could be like, you know, really nasty to people or very nice and, you know, tell people to please go away.
Does it seem like it has an end, like a story with an ending that you're working toward? Or
Stuff is speeding up for sure. I'm building some pretty serious rockets now. I've got PVC rockets with all sorts of payloads on them. So we'll see. I am greatly enjoying it. Next, Space Rebels. Anything else you guys want to jump in here with?
Nothing huge. Like, we've kind of hit the lull.
Yeah.
The traditional, you know, like, I'm sure you all remember, the last full week before Thanksgiving is kind of the last big week, right?
Well, yeah.
And then the short Thanksgiving week hits, and that's kind of like, games are sort of done. Like, in my mind, there are three more games this year that I can think of off the top of my head.
Mm.
What are they?
That I still want to play. Solar Ash.
Yes.
Halo Infinite.
Yeah.
And The Gunk. And those are all December. But other than that, like, you know, obviously, whatever. There are plenty of cool indie games coming out as evidenced by the last 15 minutes of this podcast.
Yes.
For sure.
But, you know, we're kind of in that lull. I've played some more Halo Infinite. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, I played a couple more rounds.
I've touched a little bit, but nothing new to report, really. Just so fun.
There's, I guess, not a ton more to say about it, other than I'm kind of surprised how much it's sticking both for me and kind of everybody.
Totally. Yeah, it's a good time, you know, and it's one I feel like I can just kind of check in on every now and again right now and just be like, okay, I'll get in a couple matches and I'm good. It's kind of hitting that same thing that, like, Splitgate was doing for me earlier this year.
Sure. But also just how much I see people I know talking about it that I don't normally see talk about a lot of multiplayer games, right?
Right.
Like, on Twitter, on various Discords I'm on, like, it's just, people are excited about that Halo in a way that I haven't seen in some years.
I think that's the thing, is that, like, people, like, if you've ever owned an Xbox, chances are you have played at least a little bit of Halo, and it has been long enough since anyone was really excited about Halo that they are perhaps ready to bring Halo back into their lives.
Yeah, and you know, it seems like this one really just kind of got back to brass tacks, right? After five kind of underwhelmed different people for different reasons. Like, this just seems like some Halo-ass Halo.
I think there's also something to be said about having a direct laser beam focused on the multiplayer right now.
Yeah,
so anybody who wants to get that Halo itch or scratch that Halo itch, this is where you have to do it in the multiplayer.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to
the single player.
I super am too. But yeah, as of right now, you're there for one thing, and it is capturing flags or stealing skulls.
I installed Halo, the Master Chief Collection, and jumped back into Halo 4.
Oh?
I really don't think I'm going to be able to catch up on my Halo-ness by 4 and 5.
Oh, did you not finish all of them?
No. I steered off the cliff in 4.
Well, now you got to go read all the novels
that
have come out in the last 10 years.
All you need to know is
Cortana is pissed.
Cortana.
I mean, we could kind of catch you up in about 30 seconds here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure I can watch some really amazing deep dive lore YouTube video.
On StarTube, yes.
On StarTube. But, you know, it's not the same. And it was really interesting because I think, Brad, you had said this when we were playing it during the Xbox thing. You had mentioned something like, hey, what Halo and aim down sights? Like, has this been a thing forever? Or like, when did this come in? I think there's something you said that. And in my mind, it had always had aim down sights.
Definitely not.
I went back to Halo 4 and was like, hey, what's going on here? Like, what is this like weird zooming thing that happens on the weapon? And when
four doesn't fully have it.
No,
it's just that kind of weird little shallow zoom. Because I think five.
Oh, not
remember,
the shallow zoom. It's it like, you know, like almost goes into like you're looking through binoculars kind of thing on some guns.
Yes. Okay, but it's not like you see like literal like a model of gun sights.
No.
I want to say five actually had that. I want to say five straight up did Call of Duty. Like, you are looking down actual sights, if I'm not mistaken.
I had forgotten all about that. And like, I had forgotten about, I actually switched it. And I hadn't done this for a long time. I remember this explicitly. 1, 2, and 3. Never switched it to, what do they call it? Fish stick, whatever the Call of Duty controls. The COD.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, so I always tried to keep it with the Halo controls.
Oh, Halo control scheme names, you're so cheeky.
And then I actually went to the one where the melee was on the bumper, because the melee in Halo was really strong. I don't know if it still is, but the boxer or whatever they call it, brawler, I forget what they call it.
Yeah, boxer sounds right. Let's see, there's boxer, there's bumper jumper. I think Drew was always bumper jumper guy, right?
If I'm not mistaken. Is that with the grenades?
I think that's right. Well, you jump with the...
Oh, see, that's so wild. Okay.
I'm not sure. I just roll with the defaults, personally.
I generally do, too.
So that's what I had done. And then when I went into 4, I was like, you know what? It just makes more sense to me to switch over to the traditional... Everything has kind of fallen in that line over the last decade, and it's... Like, run by clicking in and, you know, hit the left trigger to aim down, if there is an aim down, which it just zooms most of the time. I mean, there are, like, a couple of guns where it does scope down, you know, and, like, grenade on a bumper and all of those things. Like, we got to this place where that's the...
It is the way of things.
Success of Call of Duty, I guess, kind of got there. You know, click into melee, you know, that whole thing.
Yeah. I was reminded when some of the reporting was going around about the Call of Duty Vanguard sales numbers that were not great. Like, some of the headlines were like, oh, Call of Duty Vanguard, like, weakest Call of Duty launch in 14 years. And I was like, holy shit, it has in fact been 14 years since Call of Duty 4 came out.
Change the world.
So, yeah. Yes, those controls. Etched in stone at this point. Anyway, Halo's pretty good.
The thing that I traditionally happens, I will say, during this period where releases kind of slow down after around Thanksgiving, and you get a couple of got to get the thing released by the end of the year releases that happen in December, is the great catch up.
Yes.
For any,
start feeling a little reflective.
Yes.
Well,
introspective.
And, you know, we haven't made firm plans as far as what our game of the year is going to be this year, but we are going to do something. I feel like I'm comfortable enough saying, you know, committing to the idea that we will do something. And whatever that ends up being, we will talk about our favorite games of the year.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about it, and we had a Discord Q&A over on the Discord, and we talked a little bit about stuff like making it or mulling over more game focused and less category focused, kind of bringing our favorite games, things that we want to do are talk about the games we really like and not necessarily try and get them all into big categories or
yeah.
come up with a whole list of categories. And I started putting together my list of stuff that I have touched, and it's always doing this job can be weird sometimes where you're like, do I even put this on a list of stuff I played if I just checked it out for, you know, a couple
hours?
Yeah,
if I put like 3 hours into it or whatever.
Yeah.
It counts. It counts.
Does it count?
It counts.
I think it counts. I think if you want to say, you know, it's in your top 10, you probably want to go back to it a little bit and play a little more, but
no,
you can say you played it.
The big list, right?
Yeah.
So like, I wound up, like, my first pass, and there's always stuff I wound up missing because I have to go back and then go through all the, like, services to see what I played. Like, oh, I'm going to go through my Steam service. I'm going to go through PlayStation, whatever, to see what I played.
You're going to go check your Xbox museum?
Yes, I'm going to walk around my Xbox museum.
We should talk about the Xbox museum.
Yeah, we should. That thing's pretty neat. But I rounded up with about 60-ish games on there.
Ooh.
And I think out of that, could I pull a top 10 easily? I could get a top 5, I think. I was kind of going through. I can probably get a top 5.
What are you trying to say?
Well, we're here in the accountability corner here. So if there's stuff that you feel like you need, we want to commit to going back to and catching up on, what do you think that stuff's going to be?
Like, what do I want to go back to and catch up on? I want to play more Riftbreaker.
Okay.
Like I enjoyed my time there. I want to finish Guardians of the Galaxy.
I also need to finish that. I got a couple of chapters further than where I was, but I still got a couple to go.
I want to finish Kena. I like that
Spirits.
Game a lot. Yeah, I really like that game. I want to finish that. Ooh, what else? Here's a quick list of stuff that I have finished.
Okay.
Again, this is not a complete list. This stuff that I just first passed. So Hitman 3 finished. Mm-hmm. Rift Apart.
I think all of us finished that one,
yeah,
right?
Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart I finished. Forgotten City I finished.
Yes.
12 Minutes I finished. Psychonauts 2 I finished. Life is Strange True Colors we finished.
Yes.
Deathloop I finished. Tome, remember that game? That's finished that. Yeah.
That was all right.
Finished that. I like that. Jet the Far Shore I finished. Outer Wilds Echo of the Eye I finished. Metroid Dread I finished. Inscription, I think I finished. as much as one can.
I mean, it exited to desktop.
Yeah.
The most final.
Dark Pictures, House of Ashes, I finished. Unpacking, I finished. I think that's it on this list. Like, do I want to go back and play more Back for Blood? Yeah, I think I might.
I keep thinking about going back to that.
Yeah.
I wonder what the player base is like at this point.
I don't know, but like that was a fun game.
It was a fun game. I don't know if it's going to make my top 10 list fun, but it was a good time.
I want to play more Eastward. I don't know if I'll have time to finish it, but I've been like diving back in when I have time to get into that. And I just really like it, but I think it might be a long haul on that game. So
yeah.
I'm sure I'll get that one done. Chicory. I finished that as well. I'll put a little star next to that. I really like that game. Biomutant, a lot of fun.
Ooh.
But I don't know if it's going to make my list. I don't know if I'm going to finish it. I wonder if they've patched that up. I should check it out again.
I had that installed on Steam for a while and never got around to trying it.
It's cool.
But that came out at a chaotic time.
Yes it did.
Which is the main reason I didn't try it. Speaking of that chaotic time, the two games I installed last night on the PS5 that I would like to go back to are Returnal, now that they've put the permanent save feature in there. The you are not going to lose your progress if your PS5 crashes in rest mode feature. And Resident Evil 8, now that I have finished Resident Evil 7.
Oh. Are we saving Resident Evil 8 for anything, or can I just finish Resident Evil 8?
You can just go, I think.
I'll just play it.
Okay.
I hear it's really very short.
Is it? Okay.
People in Discord were saying it's shorter than 7, which I already thought was, like, shorter than expected.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, even playing 7 on a stream, it was only, like, 10 hours.
I have played a little bit of it, but not a ton.
Okay. I fired it up with, I had an early game save in 8 last night, and I was like, oh, wow, this is just more 7. Like, I don't...
Mm.
When I first played it earlier this year, I had never played 7 before, so I hadn't seen, like, that kind of new format. And I was kind of surprised last night. I was like, oh, this is literally just that. Like, there's chem fluids and crafting and same shit. Like, wow, this is just that. So, except vampires and werewolves.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
instead of mold.
It's slightly better.
Also, I fired up RE7 on the PS5 last night just to see what it was like on a TV, because I had only ever played it in VR before. Does that whole game take place through, like, a fisheye lens? Did you notice that?
I don't think I really noticed that.
There's, like, a subtle, like, lens, like...
distortion?
Lensing aberration. Effect. Like, yeah, like, the... Like, you stand next to the edge of a wall, and it's got a curve to it, because it's, like, clearly through some kind of...
Oh, I don't remember that.
Weird focal length or something. It was, like, super weirding me out. I thought I was losing my mind for a minute.
I don't remember that. Maybe there's some, like, field of view setting that got set from the VR that carried over from your profile?
I tried to Google it, because I was so weirded out by it. I found some people talking about it. But.
Oh, wow. No, I never noticed. I did play that on the PS5 because there were also some like HDR things or like Skybox stuff in the beginning that was just broken on that one. But yeah, I like Resident Evil 7.
I liked it quite a bit. It's a good game. It's a good game.
Fortunately, it can't be a game of this year, but nonetheless.
Hey, I just finished it.
It's true.
That's right. We can do whatever we want.
Resident Evil 7 is my rules. It's my game of the year.
There you go. Okay. You heard it here first.
No, it's not. I think it's pretty good.
It is pretty good. Alex, do you have stuff you want to get to?
Yeah, so like, I'm thinking I'm probably going to play at least a few of these during morning streams over the course of December. It's just kind of like here's my planting my flag and saying I'm definitely going to do some of these. I need to finish Lost Judgment. Okay. I got a good chunk of the way through that game and then realized that a bunch of these sub-story stuff that I was like wondering why it wasn't there was actually DLC. So I bought the DLC, so I have this whole other section of the game that I need to play through.
Okay. Wait, there's already DLC for that thing?
It was launch day DLC. It was basically like, do you want these extra school stories and like these relationship sub-stories?
Huh.
Which I don't love that they did that, but I still want to see them through. I need to finish Psychonauts 2. I got pretty far into it. I still have a little ways to go, like a handful of hours left into it, so I want to wrap that one up. I was looking through, I was like, do I want to play more Humankind? Do I want to get into Age of Empires? I think the strategy game I want to finish or play way more of is Old World. Like, I played a bunch of that during the summer, and then I kind of dropped off of it, and I kind of want to go back to it.
That technically came out this year, didn't it?
It did. It hit 1.0 in July, I think.
Right. Is that approachable?
Like, I think so. If you've played any 4X game before, it totally is, I think.
Okay.
Like, the Crusader Kings lineage stuff is pretty light. So it doesn't require like a ton of unpacking that stuff to just kind of get into the meat of what that game is doing. So I think you could do it. One I'm going to force on you guys and say like you will need to play before we have like a real game of the year discussion, because it will be very high on my list, is Fights and Tight Spaces, which is hitting 1.0 on December 2nd, it sounds like.
Okay.
That was this year, wasn't it?
Yeah, it hit early access in like February.
Like anything that came out before like April is just in that God, that was this year, wasn't it? Territory.
Yeah, totally. Let's see, like I finished Ratchet, I finished Hitman, I finished a handful of other things. I do want to eventually finish Guardians.
Did you finish Artful Escape?
No, actually. I got pretty far into it and then dropped off of it and wanted to go back. That's another one I would like to wrap up. Yeah, I need to say that game's not very long, so I think I don't actually have that much left of it. I do want to see the ending of it. I also want to see the ending of Lake, which I have not. I got very far into Lake. And then just something else
Lake.
Came up.
Lake.
Lake. I'm trying to end Inscription, because after hearing you guys talk about it endlessly and having only barely touched it at this point, that is going to be my December commitment. I am going to play a bunch of Inscription for you guys.
I wish I could just scrub that game from my mind and play it again.
Do you want to live in my brain for a while I experience it?
Okay. Sure. He's working on something. Did we talk about that?
I don't think so.
I don't know if I mentioned that maybe that week that we spoiled the ending of it.
Yeah, I think you mentioned that he's gone back in.
He's. I don't think he said any more since then. But it was just like it was just like, oh, there are not as many bug reports as I was expecting. So I'm working on a little something special for this, and it's just like, what is it?
Yes.
By your standards, something special, because like a whole second game or something. What is happening here?
Remember that game, The Ascent? I really like that game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that game was neat.
I like that game.
Buggy.
I don't know if I'll finish it.
Very buggy.
little buggy.
I think it was kind of the thing that eventually put me off of it, was just that it did not feel 100% together.
Yes, I remember having a major quest break on me in such a way that it was like, I'm going to put this down for like a door would not open that I needed to go through.
It's a neat game, but I just don't think it's all the way there.
Remember Dark Alliance?
God.
No, actually.
Did you forget about that?
No, I remember.
Okay. Remember Dark Pictures? We played that. We finished that.
I remember that. Yeah, that was good. Hot Wheels Unleashed. I see a lot of my kids still play that.
I think once Forza came along, everyone kind of forgot about Hot Wheels. But, you know, Hot Wheels was all right.
I'm probably very close to finishing Outriders.
Okay.
So that
someone did at least.
Please tell me that did not come out this year.
Pretty sure that came out this year.
Are you sure?
I think it did, my friend.
That extremely feels like a last fall game to me.
What if I told you
that was April 1st? What?
Yeah.
Man.
Again, we have lived three lifetimes this year, minimum.
It Takes Two came out this year. Like that.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Oh, okay, that one feels like ages ago.
I've been trying to forget that one.
I warmed up to that game.
I super didn't.
Oddworld came out this year. Remember that?
I didn't play it, so no, actually.
I watched Vinny play it.
Evil Genius 2.
When did that come out?
That came out this year. It was earlier this year. What else?
We did a quick look at
the
that.
The Medium came out this year.
No, that cannot be right.
Yes, it did. That was an early year game. Also,
did
not
get
very
delayed?
Good.
It must have gotten delayed, because I thought that was originally a...
It was like a February or March release, I think.
I could have sworn that was like a Series X launch game, launch window.
Aliens Fireteam came and went.
Yes, it did.
I just deleted that off the PS5 to make space for stuff, but I took a pause before I did so.
Pokemon Unite's still kicking around. Far Cry 6!
It's the highest selling game of October, I understood.
Wasn't a great October.
So yeah, and there's some other stuff that I should probably make a Discord channel for, like, Don't Sleep on Games, because there are probably a bunch of games that I just missed. You know, we can't get to everything. That's always a tough one.
No, but I think the ones that at least, you know, I listed off and you guys listed off, like, those are things that we will at least do our best to try and play through as much as we can before we get to the end of December.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, all right. I will fight in some tight spaces for sure.
And I will inscript. That is my commitment to you, my friends, my colleagues.
And I will Returnal.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I'll Returnal too. I got up to a part where it just felt like, oh my gosh, this is for good video game players.
I just wasn't having that much fun in that game, even apart from the save stuff.
I liked it a lot. I just didn't want to worry about losing progress.
I really enjoyed it. It just got extremely hard with a bunch of flying stuff that was blowing me up in one shot. So yeah,
that's my shit.
Yeah. Yes.
3D bullet hell.
Yes. I wonder if I should finish Boomerang X or attempt to.
It's super short. Like, I beat it in like two sittings. That game's so good.
Yeah. Yeah, I did like what I played of it. I just wound up bouncing off of it. Was Doom Eternal this year?
No, that was last year. The DLC was this year.
That was early last year.
Oh, that's sorry. That's what I meant. The DLC for Doom Eternal, not Doom Eternal itself. was it Hell something? It's probably Hell.
It's all Hell something.
The DLC?
Yeah.
Yes. Hell something. The Ancient Gods is the name of that DLC.
The Ancient Gods ... Hell something. All right. We'll catch up. Game of the year. It's going to happen. We're going to talk about our favorite games of the year in a format. Will we choose winners and losers?
Who can say?
I bet we will come up with a game that we call our game of the year, and I am not willing to commit to anything beyond that.
That's a bold suggestion.
I just don't really want to get into big arguments. That's the one thing I want to kind of try and avoid. Like, well, a little arguing, a little friendly arguing is fine.
Just play enough inscriptions so that you love it, and then you'll be fine. And then you'll be fine.
Okay. I like where this is going.
You guys play enough fights in tight spaces, maybe it'll slide in there somewhere under inscription.
I liked what I saw of that game, so I'm actually looking forward to playing that. When did that John Wick game come out? That was last year.
That was it was year before. It was like 2019, I think.
Wait, are you talking the
John Wick Hex
strategy game?
Hex, yeah.
Was it that long ago?
I don't.
Do you know how we know it was a long time ago? We did look with Dan Reichert.
Oh, it was.
Oh, okay.
Wow, you're not kidding. That was a while ago.
Okay. All right. There are a lot of actually going through this. Yeah, I could probably make a 5 pretty easily. I think the back half of the 5 would get tougher. I like that Echoes of the Eye DLC. Brad, you should finish that DLC if you have time. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. All right, should we take a break and come back with some news?
I like it.
All right, everybody, stop writing down your favorite games and take a little break with us here and get your catch-up list going. We're going to be right back after this. This week's show is brought to you by Rocket Money. Brad Shoemaker, Alex Navarro. I bet you guys have subscriptions.
I had a lot of subscriptions. I had too many subscriptions, and at a certain point, I had to drill down. I had to focus. I had to make sure that I did not have so many subscriptions anymore.
You had to take time out of your day.
My busy schedule.
Your time, which is worth more than anything. To find those subscriptions and cancel. Brad Shoemaker, do you live a subscription lifestyle?
I am just a walking monthly bill at this point.
It's the world we live in. If you need help, boy, guys, I got some news for you. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills all in one place. It says here that most people think they're spending $80 on their subscriptions, when in reality, the number is closer to $200.
My God.
What are we even doing? With Rocket Money, you can easily cancel the ones you don't want with just the press of a button. Rocket Money also lets you monitor all your expenses in one place, recommends custom budgets based on your past spending, and they'll even send you notifications when you've reached your spending limits. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions and manage your money the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/nextlander. That's rocketmoney.com/nextlander. rocketmoney.com/nextlander. Thanks, Rocket Money. This week's show is brought to you by ExpressVPN. Alex Navarro, Brad Shoemaker. You're not going to walk out of the house naked, right?
Not if I can help it.
You're going to put your VPN on first.
Yeah, of course.
Of course.
One leg at a time, like I always do.
ExpressVPN is the easiest way to browse safely, securely, and just better. I just used ExpressVPN. I was away on a trip. I've had ExpressVPN for a couple of years here. When I got on that hotel Wi-Fi, I slipped right into ExpressVPN. One click, very easy. Get in there, and then I was able to access the internet, let's say.
Yeah. What are you doing on that vacation there?
I had to access my GitHub account, and I was doing some coding, and then
I
used my ExpressVPN and then VPN'd into my home computer.
Likely story.
And then I watched some videos, and it's
That's
fast
what they
enough.
All
it's,
say.
It's got great speeds. It was connected very easily. I was even able to stream in HD problemless on the hotel Wi-Fi. And they didn't know a damn thing. Says here you can connect to ExpressVPN and you won't even realize you have it on, which I can vouch for. It's pretty seamless. So right now, go to expressvpn.com/nextlander and you can get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. That's expressvpn.com/nextlander to get 3 extra months of ExpressVPN. expressvpn.com/nextlander. Thanks, ExpressVPN. And we're back, and now it is time for the news. Now, there's a lot that I am thankful for.
Uh-oh.
And I'm thankful for Brad Shoemaker for going through and pulling all these news stories.
I wasn't sure where that was going.
Yeah, I know. I'm thankful that you have gone through and pulled a bunch of news stories that... Finally, we could put the Activision stuff behind us.
I was going to say, there's a lot of things going on in the world. I wasn't quite sure what you were about to be thankful for.
No, what do we got, Brad? Let's jump right into it. What is going on in the news of the world?
Why don't we start off with something that's not Activision?
Okay, all right, that's good.
What do you say?
You're saying we'll have this appetizer. This is the sliced up peppers on the table.
Here is your amuse-bouche.
Great.
Your accoutrement
for the goings on. I mean, okay. Don't worry. We'll get to it. There's no escaping. But this happened right before we started to record, just about. Kind of out of nowhere. Epic Games, perhaps you've heard of them. Makers of the Epic Games Store, Unreal Tournament 2004, and Jazz Jackrabbit.
The only three things they've ever made,
Have acquired Harmonix.
Huh.
They bought Harmonix after Harmonix got bought by MTV and then bought themselves back from MTV/Viacom at some point and have been,
wandering the wastelands ever since.
Sort of trundling along under the auspices of venture capital for some years.
Now, for full disclosure reasons, just in case anyone doesn't know, I did once work at Harmonix Music Systems for just under 2 years. So
God, I forgot.
Personal connection.
Sorry. I forgot what the full name was. That's such a good name.
Yeah.
For Harmonix, full disclosure.
Harmonix Music Systems.
I also once worked at Viacom, CBS.
Mm-hmm. So, we all kind of did it one time or another.
I guess I did too. Well, I think they had divested themselves of Harmonix before we got there.
They
had,
yes. That was in 2012.
That's the year we got there, 2012. But they bought them in 2006.
Yeah,
in the heyday of the plastic instrument craze, let's say.
The good news about our dark future is in only a few more years, we won't have to make statements like that jokingly or sincerely, because we will all work for the one Uber company.
There will be at least Uber. Three megacorps that are all warring with each other. We will be soldiers in the corp wars.
What are the last three to stand? Amazon.
Disney.
Disney, and I'm going to say Tencent or Alibaba.
Okay.
I was gonna maybe throw an Exxon Mobil out there, but
nah, they'll get bombed and just destroyed at some point. Yes. All the fossil fuel industry ones, they're not gonna make it to the corp wars.
Yeah, you're right. The Petrocorps have an especially rough future ahead of them.
They will be on the tanker with the smokers launching jet skis out of the back on their oil tanker along with Dennis Hopper.
Yes, he's coming back for the corp wars.
He was never gone. They're keeping him there. All right, Brad, what's going on? You said it. Epic buys Harmonix.
Yeah.
What does this mean?
We go now to our Harmonix correspondent. Yes.
So Harmonix has been, granted, I've not really been plugged into anything on the inside there in a very long time, but my understanding is that they have just kind of been plugging away for a long time. Fuser, I think, was one of their better selling games they've had in recent years, though I'm not sure that it really did gangbusters either.
That was last year, right?
That was last year, and they've continued to put DLC out for it, and I think it's another one of those cases similar to the Rockman DLC where it's selling enough to justify continuing to do it. But it has not been a breakout success, and they've not had a breakout success in a long time.
It's probably a little telling on this VentureBeat article that I'm looking at. They show people playing Rock Band and having a good time, and underneath the caption of that of the photo, the caption for that photo is Harmonix, maker of Rock Band, had a VR title in 2016.
Yes,
that. They've done other stuff.
They have done other stuff and, varying levels of success. None of them, like I said, though, have had, Rock Band breakout hit status. And, they've been owned by a venture capital firm for a long time or, had, a venture capital firm is what bought them out from under MTV. I don't know what the exact state of the ownership was prior to this. But, so they did a little Q&A on their Harmonix blog kind of addressing the big elephants in the room. Are they going to keep making Rock Band DLC? Yes. Are they going to keep making Fuser DLC? Yes. Are they going to make more plastic instruments? Not in the immediate future.
This is not in our current plans.
Yeah.
Everything about this Q&A is, very jovial and, conversational sounding. And then the question about plastic instruments, this is not in our current plans.
They have to say that, because the thing is, they don't have a hardware partner, they haven't had one for a long time, and even if they do get somehow manage to hoodwink Epic into funding more factories to make more plastic instruments, that's probably not in the immediate future. And
I'm gonna stake my claim right now.
Uh-huh.
That's never gonna happen. They will never make plastic instruments again.
I don't want to say never, but I'm gonna say the odds are low. They are very low.
I mean,
I'm with Alex on that. Never say never, but boy, what world are we in when we go back?
There's a world where someone gets Tim Sweeney in front of a Rock Band guitar and he says, oh man, this was a lot of fun. What if we made more of these? And then no matter how many people try to talk him out of it, he still funds some more guitars at least one more time. But, you know, again, long shot.
Is that game backwards compatible with my existing Rock Band stuff?
No,
no, you have to buy a $500 adapter.
Wait,
probably.
Wait, hang on. You have existing Rock Band stuff?
Yeah, I did. I did. Because listen, Rock Band's cool.
It's cool.
I got nothing against Rock Band. I don't know.
Imagine introducing like younger kids to Rock Band. Like that's you'd go get some Rock Band stuff for
I may have bad news for you about the relationship between younger kids and rock music.
Hey, listen, they get it. You'd be surprised.
Well, look, they're going to make some inroads here. They've figured out how they're going to get the kids interested in rock music again, and it's by making musical experiences for Fortnite.
That's right.
So yeah, like, that's kind of this entire Q&A they put up on their blog is like a preamble to the last question. What will the Harmonix team work on next? The answer is that they will be working on musical journeys and gameplay for Fortnite.
Yeah.
And, like, so, I know...
I'm not knocking it. Like, that's fine. Like, the people that have done some of the musical stuff that's been in Fortnite have had very good things to say about it.
I don't want to be on record here as hating on that shit. Like, I think it's all that stuff is really interesting. Like, I don't care that much about those experiences, but I like that they're trying to do it. And I think if you're going to build a dedicated team to make more things like that, Harmonix is about as good a fit for that as anyone.
Totally. I mean, I'm sure this is good for Harmonix.
Yeah.
And, like, Fortnite aside, like, Epic's gotten into some other weird stuff lately, like that Radiohead thing that came out or is coming out. I think it did come out, right?
It's out.
Like, that thing was so out of left field. I was like, man, somebody at Epic has got some ideas for some stuff.
I keep meaning to check that thing out, even though I am not, like, the biggest Radiohead fan. I liked Kid A a fair amount and Amnesiac a fair amount, so I feel like I will like that enough to justify downloading it and trying it.
Yeah, like Fortnite notwithstanding, if this lets Harmonix get involved in some more weird stuff like that,
yeah,
that seems kind of awesome.
I just want that studio to continue to exist, and ideally I would love them for them to thrive, and if this is what eventually gets them to that point, then by all means, I just don't think they were going to get there on their own in the current path that they were on.
Well, now they have some more security, presumably.
Yeah, exactly.
I would hope.
Fuser's pretty cool. I really like Fuser.
What is Rivals? Do you know, Alex, like, one
Rock
of the
Band
questions
Rivals?
In here, oh, is that...
So that was the expansion for Rock Band 4, and that was the thing that added some modes and, like, some additional songs and whatnot, but it is basically just Rock Band 4, and is the version of Rock Band 4 you pretty much everyone would just buy now if you were
Okay, because one of the questions is, will you keep doing Rivals seasons? And they're like, yep, we've got a fun season 25 already planned, and I'm like, wait, what the hell is Rivals?
Yeah, they started doing seasons around their DLC blocks, and usually they have, like, some kind of theme around them, and I want to say that is a very loose definition of theme in some of these cases. It's literally just, like, we have these songs, let's come up with a thing for them. But, you know, it's basically, it's like, hey, do you want to buy this season pass? You get a discount on this DLC, and that's pretty much it. And then there's, like, challenges every week.
Man, what if they make a new Rock Band Blitz?
They will never make another Rock Band Blitz, and believe me, I'm as sad about that as anyone. That game was great.
Man.
You just want the gloves. You just want more fingerless gloves.
Sure.
I've got a continuing in our series of Vinny meets the internet. I have a question for both of you because this article mentioned the metaverse quite a bit.
Oh God, yeah.
Are people using that seriously or like non-ironically?
They're trying to make
things?
It a thing. I totally
forgot to point that out. That is in this Harmonix blog post as well. Now we'll be working with Epic to once again challenge expectations as we bring our unique brand of musical gaming experiences to the metaverse.
Like,
but is that metaverse like trademark symbol Facebook or
Well, Facebook definitely does not have the monopoly on the metaverse as much as they would like to think they do.
But
they did capitalize metaverse here.
Is this some like Web 3.0 shit that we're trying to get into?
I don't know, man.
It's bullshit, I think, is what it is.
Well, it's the same ongoing bullshit that has been happening for most of this year and a lot of last year as well.
Not a huge fan. I'm not going to say it gets me really angry because it doesn't. I just wanted to know if people are really, I thought people had been throwing it around as like joking.
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, in Epic's case, I'm sure they would love for you to believe that Fortnite and the metaverse are essentially synonymous with each other, or at a minimum, that Fortnite will form the basis for the future metaverse.
So they want Ready Player One to be real. They're
already like a quarter of the way there.
No,
like they've got the licenses. They just haven't made like the all encompassing thing yet.
I had a weird moment the other day where on some Discord that I'm on, somebody posted a screenshot of like a post match summary from Fortnite, and all the players there were like, fuck man, it was villain from Avengers,
Thanos,
Master Chief, Rick Sanchez, and Naruto.
were the
yes,
characters.
The four horsemen of the apocalypse.
And they're all in the same room run.
For some reason, I looked at that screenshot and I was like, this is fucking awesome. Like, this is incredible that somebody is able to do the legal legwork to get all these fucking characters in the same game. And also, they all kind of just look exactly like they do in the property that they were drawn from. Like, the graphics have gotten good enough at this point that, like, Thanos looks just about as good as he looks in those movies, you know?
But it's
like,
all still just a little bit Fortnite-y.
Like, the cell shading is good enough that, like, the you know, the animated cartoon characters look like fucking cartoon characters. Like, you know, yes, it is crass and commercial in the extreme, but there's something kind of gleeful about the fact that this weird mishmash of properties is even able to exist in the form that it does.
When you embrace the fact that Fortnite is just video game McDonald's at this point,
yes.
Life becomes a lot easier.
Like that
it's
screenshot,
just like, okay, this is what this is.
Totally. It was like a video game Happy Meal is basically what that was, looking at
your
that screenshot.
Your Happy Meal toy is Thanos. Now go shoot that guy.
Yeah, totally. It was like, you know what? I have zero interest in playing Fortnite. I have nothing against it, but like this is kind of a marvel of modern media that this even exists.
Quite literally in that case.
Yes. The marvel. I don't know. We've all read this tale a million times.
A tale as old as time.
A tale as old as time. Like this is the cliche sci-fi story, and you don't just get to pick the parts where the cool tech company parts exist without the other parts that happened with all the other stuff that happens in that book.
Again, it's why I think Tencent will be one of the megacorps, because they have an ownership stake in Epic. You know, like they're in on this stuff.
It's just weird to me that all this referential stuff that's like Snow Crash and, you know, all these things, those are not necessarily
good.
positive outcomes for those worlds. Man, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Shout out to Harmonix. I hope this all goes well for you, and I hope this brings stability to the team.
Shout out to Harmonix and Cyberdyne Systems for also advancing their AI platform. And have you seen what they're doing with robots? It's really
revolutionary.
It's really. Are you guys going to sign up for Skynet? Because it's really, I want to get in there.
Oh man, now you're just making me think about Genesis.
It's good.
In which Skynet was in fact an app that people signed up for.
Yep.
And not a giant supercomputer under what's the mountain?
That might be the worst Terminator movie.
Genesis.
I kind of looped back around to thinking it was amazing. Like I hated it the first time I saw it, and then the second time I saw it, I was like, I don't take this seriously. But then neither does it.
I mean, it's a lot stupider than Salvation, which is also very bad, and also deathly fucking self-serious.
Like, that's the thing. Salvation is way too serious for its own good. Genesis is, like, knowingly stupid, and I kind of appreciate that.
All right.
Anyway.
Speaking of tales that
speaking of dark
are,
fates.
Yeah, that are ongoing. No fate. What else we got, Brad?
Activision stuff. Just kind of loop all the, or lump all of this together.
Continues apace.
One thing, I think the story about Jim Ryan messaging internally at Sony about the situation had happened as of last week, and we talked about that, right?
I believe we had that on the podcast. I believe
so. Phil Spencer then came out and condemned the situation internally at Microsoft with some like fairly strong language, such as this type of behavior has no place in our industry, and that they are, quote, evaluating all aspects of our relationship with Activision Blizzard, sounds fairly ominous.
Yeah.
And then Doug Bowser at Nintendo has since then also messaged Nintendo's employees with some similar language.
I find these accounts distressing and disturbing. They run counter to my values as well as Nintendo's beliefs, values, and policies.
Are those
well, all three cases?
Well, at least in the Xbox or Microsoft and Nintendo one, are those also targeted towards employees?
Yeah, yes, those were all internal emails.
Yeah, okay. These are internal emails, but you know, of course, yes. They're gonna get out the second that they are sent out.
And that is the thing that actually grinds my gears a little bit here, is that these emails were very clearly written to be leaked. Like, they were written in a way that is intended to get out into the public sphere without actually having to put out a public statement.
Yeah,
and I think that's a little cowardly, honestly.
Yeah,
I think the sentiment is good, and it's interesting seeing CEOs go on record about one of their biggest business makers. It was like, Activision makes a lot of money for, maybe less so Nintendo, but just about all three of these companies.
Well, you know, remember, in all three cases, these people are accountable to higher authorities.
Right.
Like, none of them are the actual heads of the companies. They are heads of divisions.
Right.
Within those companies. So I don't pretend to know what the ins and outs are of having to deal with investor ire if you go out and, like, I don't know, whatever. I'm not trying to defend or justify. I just, you know, who knows what level of corporate politics they are dealing with.
But the thing that makes it a little, you know, today I believe there was a lawsuit filed against Sony for, you know, gender discrimination in the workplace. So, you know, it's not like these companies are necessarily absolved of this sort of thing. And also, I don't remember any of this happening when the Ubisoft stuff was coming around. And granted, Ubisoft did a better job, I think, of sweeping some of this stuff up and out of sight than Activision has been doing, where they've just been stepping on rakes for the entirety of this year.
Well, but, you know, like, Ubisoft was absolutely slow to act, but they did ultimately get rid of some people.
Yeah.
I mean, you have a government case.
Right.
Yeah, the government case does change the dynamic significantly.
Activision has drawn the government's ire, but also, like, the core of that story was that they moved to protect predators rather than dismissing them, so.
My quick takeaway from, like, the luxury of my basement was, like, man, I don't think anybody likes Bobby. I don't think Bobby has too many friends.
Probably not at this point.
Console houses. If they're not closing ranks or at least just keeping mum, you know, then.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw Patrick out there tweeting when the Phil Spencer story hit, and I kind of agree with him. Like, he was basically like, okay, this is the first thing that actually convinced me that Kodak might actually be done.
Yeah.
And I agreed at the time, but also I very jadedly think, like, there's no bottom to how much people like Kodak can get away with if they just kind of refuse to acknowledge reality and keep going.
Yeah. I mean, it also just depends on the level of scrutiny. Like, there are definitely people that can slip through the cracks on this stuff, but I think the level of scrutiny here is too high. And I think that there's too many eyeballs and too many pressure points. And it's at the point now where Kodak is now on record saying, if he can't fix the issues quickly, then he is quote unquote open to leaving, which
to be fair, that's not on record. That's being reported.
Well,
by
that's
Wall
being
Street
reported.
Journal.
Yes.
Yeah. That is out of another Wall Street Journal story that they and Bloomberg have been reporting on this stuff pretty heavily. But yeah, they do say that he has raised the possibility internally among executives of stepping down, but, you know, qualified by, like, you know, if we can't fix the problem quickly is basically what he's saying, and, like, that could mean all kinds of things.
I think he's trying to find his exit. Trying to find a way he can leave with maximum grace, you know, compared to what else, like, just being sacked.
Yeah, it's possible. I don't know. I feel a little less convinced that he's moving in that direction. Like, they just put out this press release. The board put out this press release late last night about establishing a workplace responsibility committee.
Oh, good.
On the board. But again, you know, like,
finally, a blue ribbon commission. We're going to solve it.
You know, like, you can definitely argue in situations like this that self-policing is no policing at all.
I suspect Bobby will. My guess is he doesn't make it much into next year. And he does a thing that is like, what Activision, you know, what Activision needs now is to focus on healing, and, you know, I don't want to be a distraction and, you know, everything. So I'm going to step away so that Activision can, you know, not admit any guilt, not admit any wrongdoing, not admit any part in it. Say that basically he's going to remove himself from that position so that the real healing can happen. You know, the real work can be done. And he, you know, the things that are happening with him, because I don't think this will be the end of the stuff against him. I think
probably not.
Usually once one of these things pops, a lot of people feel more comfortable coming out. I mean, don't forget, he's a very rich and powerful person.
Oh, yeah. So no, he's made his money, and he has certainly bought and like made enough money to buy his ticket into the rich person's bunker when the climate apocalypse comes. So,
but also extremely powerful. And I'm sure there are a lot of people that don't, you know, are worried about crossing him, you know, mm-hmm. even still in that position and, you know, what that could mean. So we'll see what happens. But my guess is like this is kind of the end for him at the helm here. It seems hard to imagine him coming out the other side of this. I mean, Activision almost seems like it's going to have a tough time coming out the other side of this in a recognizable state. I mean, Activision will certainly come out the other side of this, but in a way that there aren't some major shakeups.
My gut feeling is if he has not stepped down now already off the back of this stuff, he's not going to do it until further pressure is applied or further events force his hand. Like, you know, the fact that they're out there right now saying, hey, we're establishing our own... Yeah. self-regulatory committee to keep an eye on this stuff. We are definitely accountable to ourselves. You trust us, we'll take care of it. Like, I don't think they'd be making moves like that if his departure was imminent.
I don't think it's imminent, but I think it's going to happen.
I also think it depends how further these things go into trial and discovery.
But that's what I mean, is like if more dirt comes out of these cases as they proceed and stuff, like eventually he may not have a choice.
But, yeah, I don't know. I hope the environment in there, I haven't heard too much out of employees personally there. So I hope the environments there are at least very sensitive to employee asks and demands.
I mean, you know, there are definitely like employee organizations calling for him to step down and stuff like that.
I just mean in general, aside from the Bobby stuff, like we have said multiple times, whether Bobby is kicked out on his butt or given a giant parachute, no matter what, that dude is going to land in a pile of money. So,
yeah.
Well, the bigger question is would his departure actually fix anything? And I would say there is far more work to do than removing one chief executive.
I think there's probably a lot of people he put in place that would see his removal as not being protected anymore if they did install somebody in there who might have a fresh eye on that stuff. There are probably people in that upper tier that he thought they had his protection. Like, I'm okay as long as Bobby is here. So I don't know. We're just speculating. It's
100%.
It's really hard to tell.
We have no inside knowledge on any of this stuff. It is literally just trying to figure out where this stuff is going.
Yeah. Yes. Is that, that's kind of the big hits from the Activision stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Speaking of big hits,
mm-hmm.
not to associate this with anything that is going on at Activision, but I'll take my segues where I can. Brad, what's next?
By they, I mean IO Interactive started teasing a whole bunch of new Hitman 3 content.
Yeah.
After, I feel like, saying that they were done with Hitman 3.
They had definitely alluded to the idea that there was not going to be more Hitman 3 content.
I could have sworn that at one point they had, maybe it was just saying, hey, we're not going to make another Hitman game for a while.
Yeah.
But I thought it was a stronger message than that of like,
that's how I remember it.
Like, hey, we don't have major DLC planned for this game. Like, this is kind of what you're getting.
Yeah.
Is my memory.
Mine too.
But what is it? They announced next year the PC version is getting ray tracing. Mm-hmm. The PC version is getting a VR mode.
Mm-hmm.
There's something called the Elusive Target Arcade coming, mm-hmm. which they didn't really go into detail on. But I mean, the big one is they're making new maps.
So that's all 2022 stuff, right?
They're like, going to make new maps for Hitman 3. They said in January they will talk more in detail about what.
So the marathon has not finished.
there are new maps.
But they said across this entire trilogy, they've had 50 million unique players, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
The thing is, I feel like I've seen people who would have normally fallen off of something that came out in January still playing Hitman 3 semi-regularly throughout this year. I'm not just talking about you guys.
I think in that video they said this is the best-selling Hitman game of all time.
Yeah, Hitman 3 is the most successful Hitman game ever.
Which is amazing. I mean, I wonder if they count Hitman 3 with all of the maps and stuff rolled out, because that is a hell of a package. Like
it's a platform, basically.
Hitman 1 and 2, and
yeah,
you know,
it's pretty stiff. I mean, yeah, yeah.
It's great. They also said there's a lot of, or not a lot, but there are a few more surprises in store for what's coming in this thing. Thank God. And they said it's, you know, some really big fan requests.
Hmm.
Is there a Hitman roulette coming in Hitman 3? Is there going to be
I feel like that's maybe what that Elusive Target arcade thing is just like a constant reshuffling of the various Elusive Targets they've done over the years.
But you got to have a thing where it's like random map, random weapons,
just
target.
a full on randomizer would be pretty great.
Yeah, and I feel like I don't know. I think that could be coming in there. I would be a great addition. I mean,
I could see it. It's been requested. Like, it's not even just us. I've seen people requesting that for years now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe good on them.
Yeah.
Congratulations
seriously.
To them. I mean, they've got a lot of irons in the fire. They've got that James Bond game going and maybe something else.
Maybe something else. But as far as we know, the only thing they've announced at this point is James Bond.
Maybe I dreamed that up. For some reason, I thought they said they had.
Maybe this
game.
Is the something else. Like, that's the thing. Maybe this is the other thing they're working on.
Yeah, it does feel like they have expanded what Hitman 3 is getting from what they originally said, which is pretty cool.
I will not complain about that one bit.
I would like, has there been a good story, like did Danny O'Dwyer or anybody do a story about, like no clip, about the separation between IO and Square?
I'm pretty sure he did some IO stuff. I don't know if they talked about that too much.
Like I'm curious about it, like who instigated that, what happened there, you know, was Square not happy? Because
You know how Square is with Western developers.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Like, is this a make good awesome story about IO kind of double middle fingers to somebody who is not going to give them support over there? Or
yes, Kane and Lynch are both throwing up the mids.
Yeah, that's what they're going to put in Hitman 3. They're two elusive targets, very extremely elusive targets. All right. Somebody who is, this news, not elusive. This feels like you could have said this at any point in the last 5 years and I would have believed you, but Brad, what is this last story you have here?
By God, he finally did the thing.
Uh-huh.
Kojima Productions has, opened a new studio in Los Angeles to make films, TV, and music type stuff.
Ta-da! Yeah, of course, like, sure.
Is this what it was always destined to happen?
Some might say he's been doing it for years.
Finally, he gets to cut the gameplay out.
There's not a ton of information about this. It's being led by someone who has spent a lot of years at PlayStation in different business roles. The team has its charter, the goal of expanding the reach and awareness of the properties now under development at Kojima Productions, and to make them even more a part of our popular culture. Death Stranding Prestige series coming to which network?
AMC. You know,
AMC. Wow. Well, yeah, of course. Rita's already got the relationship, right? Itself.
I'd watch that. It'd be like a miniseries, like a six-parter. I'd watch that. Yeah, I mean... Sure.
I mean, either they get Mads Mikkelsen or I'm out.
I hope they do.
I feel like all of this language is so boilerplate. Our new division will take the studio into even more areas that present our creative narrative. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah,
there's like a 25% chance this actually yields nothing.
I would almost say higher than that.
You know, I feel Kojima is like one of the few people I would say would push very hard to make something happen.
Sure, sure.
But
yes, I could totally see a situation where just like project after project, just languages and development hell.
Yeah, like all those Halo things that happened over the years.
Right. Of course, the Halo TV show is finally coming out.
I know, but how many like aborted projects did they have over the years?
Like, remember when they were supposed to be making a BioShock movie?
Yes.
Is that not happening anymore?
Wasn't Gore Verbinski attached to that at one point?
I think he was.
I would watch.
I mean, remember when Amazon said they're in negotiations to make a Mass Effect TV series, which, by the way, they just announced that story just came out like right as we were recording this. Apparently, Amazon is going to make a Mass Effect TV series.
Wait, what?
On what network?
On Amazon.
On Amazon Prime.
Oh.
You know, for Amazon.
Yeah, it's a little late. For Netflix. It's going to be a Netflix
I'm Commander
original.
Shepard, and this is my favorite Amazon marketplace.
Oh, God. You're right. Mass Effect TV series nearing development at Amazon.
Nearing development?
It probably means they haven't signed the final contract yet, but it probably will happen.
Man.
EA will take a check. They don't give a fuck.
What even would that be?
Tell those side stories. Have it be one of those, like, a different story every episode, and it just takes place in the galaxy. And you don't even need a string or a connective tissue like the
it's
Mandalorian.
Like an anthologized series, like Star Trek kind of thing. Man, I would watch that.
Yeah, exactly. But like, just have it be different stories each week.
Honestly, it would probably be better than the current Star Trek people are putting out. So, if they do it right.
So I think that's what I would want of like Tales from the Citadel or something, set in that universe.
Yeah,
but
like, you
please do not tell a Reaper story.
Right. Like, you don't just do a TV show about Shepard, right?
No, do some cool darker sci-fi with
they're super gonna do Shepard.
No, they're going to, man.
They are 100% going to.
No, please. Okay, listen, Amazon, I know you're listening to me just in general. Not listening to me because it's me, listening to me because I probably have some Amazon device in my house. Just don't do that. Look at all the side stories. Think about this, Amazon. I really like Mass Effect. I'm a huge fan. The side stories were always better than the main story. Just the side stories and the little stuff is so much better. Just do those. That's what everybody wants. Anybody who knows what Mass Effect is just wants those side stories. Tell a fun story about the Geth and like, oh man, this Geth was like kind of human. And like,
Finny,
we found a Geth and do we keep it? I don't know.
I have such bad news for you about how prestige television works these days. They can't do it without an overarching big bad plot in the background. Like, it's not necessarily they're going to do all the Reaper stories in one season or anything, you know, like they're not going to necessarily like end it, you know, with just the one season of Shepard thing. It will be in the background constantly while they do those side stories to fill out the seasons, but there will always be Reapers in the background, stuff happening with that. It is going to happen. I am telling you, Chris Pratt is going to be your Shepard. Fucking suck.
God damn it, I was waiting to make the person.
No, he's going to be Sovereign. Because you gotta really just get him in a role that just makes no
it's
sense.
It's a bee! Sovereign!
That's not the real voice, but you're just going to have to wait to find out.
I saw something going around about his accent in the Mario movie. Like, the producer of the movie said that his accent is fantastic.
Oh, no. So, you missed the best line. As an Italian-American.
Oh, wow. I didn't even see that part.
Yes. I think the accent is fantastic. It's something along those lines.
Now we know he is putting on an accent for that movie.
He could do it. I mean, it's just going to be such a cartoon accent anyway. Like,
not like Charles Martinet is like the most fucking sensitive Italian accent you've ever heard.
Right. Anyway, I don't know why you had to send me into this mess. Mass Effect TV series could be very cool if done well. Like, do they do everything in CG? Like, are the Krogans going to be full CG?
Nah.
You think they do some puppet work?
I don't know. Because, like, I don't know. Like, I actually went back and watched a couple of episodes of Babylon 5 recently because they just put that stuff out on HBO Max. And look, the CG in that show has aged terribly, but the alien makeup, even in, like, the early 90s TV stuff, is really good. Mm. I think you can do really good practical alien makeup if you want, but you're right. They'll probably just CG the fuck out of it.
I mean, it'd be hard to do, like, Hanar. Like,
some of those you have to do CG, but I think you can do the Turians. I think you can do the Krogan.
Do a puppet Elcor, you know, the, like, you know.
Oh, man, if they snuffle up against that shit, that'd be amazing. Just two guys in a big suit.
Yes. Oh, do those. Those are the interesting things.
I know.
Do those things. Like, give me, like, a weird side story of an Elcor and a Hanar, like, in a car trip, like, going to work or something. Like, that's what everybody wants.
Are you saying they should do Blasto?
Do Blasto. Go, they're going
do
to
a
see Blasto
episode, for sure.
They should do Blasto.
All right.
Sorry, I didn't mean to make you all mad. I just had to get that out there.
It's oddly, like, I think Mass Effect oddly is, like, kind of corny enough in a lot of ways that could really work if done right. Like, there's been a lot of really production-wise, sci-fi has never been better. Like, the effects look great, like, across the board. There's been, like The Expanse has been, you know, very good. Like,
I
there's
think that
been,
is just about to start its final season.
There's been very good sci-fi. So I think a sci-fi production on the technical merits can be well done now. Like, even lower budget stuff is looking very good. You just gotta pick the right stories. Just don't tell the Shepherd story. Like, for God's sake, Jeff Bezos, go to the moon, go to Mars, just whatever it takes to find out that this, to look at the Earth.
Mine your
say,
minerals, fuck it. I don't know.
Have some moment, some come to Jesus moment, and be like, we don't have to tell the Shepherd story. I realize that looking out of the portal through billions of dollars in my space capsule, that I need to tell a story about a young Krogan who is fighting his way through the ranks.
Do you know how long this Blasto wiki page is? There's so much material to work with.
Man.
And they won't work with any of it. They're just going to do the story you already know because they are not that interesting.
Apparently there's a Blasto story called Blasto Eternity is Forever. Which is like the best fake James Bond title I have ever heard in my life.
That's so really good.
That's really good. All right. Get IO to make the Blasto game, and then Blasto as like a kind of action hitman James Bond star. All right. We're going to wrap up this podcast, and we are going to wish you a very happy holiday if you are celebrating. And if you're not, just enjoy the time.
Hey, just treat yourself to a turducken anyway.
Yeah, why not? Just go grab one. I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank everybody for supporting us. I am very thankful for all the support we've gotten over here on Nextlander. If you want to support us, you do so by watching, listening, going out, spreading the good word. If you're getting around, you know, friends and family, you'd be like, who's got it? The Nextlander folks.
That's right.
And also the support over on Patreon, patreon.com/Nextlander. You can go there, find a tier that's right for you. And you can support us there as well. Cannot do it without you. There is a tier that is the Mysterious Benefactor tier, wherein you get your name read on this here show, and I am going to read those names. So here are this week's Mysterious Benefactors. Starting with, I'm going to read this, I don't know if I should, no one. Very mysterious.
Hey, that's what they put.
That's right.
They're just trying to amp up the mystery.
Vinny's Giant Booga Boogas. Rob M. Nelson LeBlanc. James Smith. Skywarp. Brian D. John Hubbard. Sean Miller. Jack Einecker. Nick Donegan. Evan Cook. Mark Wilhelm. J.M. Jerry Lee. Gary Pejke. Matt. Conrad Kuzmin. Robert Fisher, Joseph Reagan, John McGinnis, hashtag Bunny Crimes, Peter Reardon, Thomas Lynn, Jad Rita, Statics, Andrew Jackson, Bacon Monk, Chris Barkhurst, Ninja Ducky, Anders Bouget, Devin Maestro Hall, Brian Murphy, Kevin Velado, Randy Duax, Mark Allenbach, Aaron Gonzalez Beer, Andrew Tiebkin, It's Me JP, Edward Cheek, Andrew Slosky, Steve Lynn, Richard Welsh, aka Hired Noobs, Matthew Herrig, Rick Button, and Tyler Treese.
Thank you to your all. And also, if I may send a special message out to Anders Bouget, if you could please message us and just let us know which one of us is getting your last name right, because I feel like we all say it differently and I want to make sure we're doing it right.
No, forever a mystery. I all need right. to never know. If you're gonna get a message, you can be like, actually, it's
none of them.
Yeah,
maybe they're just that chill and they don't care.
Yeah,
if that's the case, by all means, I just want to make sure we aren't fucking it up.
Thanks everybody for supporting us. Really, we really do appreciate it. As stated previously, here, there, and everywhere, we will be taking off Thursday and Friday. But we will be back next week. If you want to catch up on some stuff, might I recommend checking out Brad over in Resident Evil 7. wrap that up this week.
Making
you can check
some,
out
contentious choices, let's say.
That's right. All the choices were made. See if you agree or not. You can check that out. Archives are up. You can watch the Hitman Marathon. You can watch some ghost hunting. You can watch some Life is Strange True Colors. You know, spend all your time there doing different things. On the next Lander, Metaverse.
No.
It's written now.
Sorry.
No.
I cannot. Go get, even as a goof.
Go get in your Batmobile, pull up to a virtual drive-in as SpongeBob SquarePants and watch Hitman Marathon. And then buy next Lander bucks and spend them on, I don't know, something to put on your Batmobile dashboard.
Legal next tender.
Next tender is pretty good. Okay, that's pretty good. All right, everybody. Brad and Alex, have a great and happy holiday. Have a safe one. Alex, have some safe travels. And
thank
we will see you back here on the podcast next week.